Hello, and thanks for joining us. This is James Denman from SearchSOA.com, and I'm speaking with Michael Ogrins, Principal Architect for Global Markets at one of the world's largest financial institutions. He's also a frequent industry speaker on Enterprise 2.0 and author of the book Mashup Patterns, Designs and Examples for the Modern Enterprise.
Well, thanks, James, for having me.
Today we're going to be talking about mashups, the cloud, and about data integration. So I'll start off with the easy question. What are mashups?
So what are mashups? I guess I wish it was an easy question. If we're talking in the about enterprise mashups, then I think one of the connotations of mashups is the taking existing applications and recombining them in a way that maybe the original, or recombining parts of them in a way that maybe the original authors didn't intend. So in a way, it's kind of almost reuse without permission. I think the mashups they connote a creative aspect, and there's that part of it. But also, more frequently, mashup technology is also being used just to move data between platforms and to kind of get data out of the systems that it's hiding in and expose it to a larger audience.
Okay, so how do those mashups help with data migration projects?
So, in any modern organization, you have a circumstance where obviously a large part of most companies is generating information and storing it and manipulating it. And in many cases, that's done with homegrown internal systems, or it's done with external vendor products or externally hosted systems, say SaaS providers or applications that are hosted in the cloud. Or most likely, as the firm gets bigger, it may be a combination of all of those things. And what inevitably happens is business conditions change, or maybe a more favorable product is released from a different vendor, or sometimes vendors go out of business, and ultimately you need to move the data between those different systems. Now, for an internally grown application, for firms that are maybe lucky, or I guess enough to have developed all their own stuff, they have access probably unfettered to get to all that data, assuming the original development team is still there, people who are familiar with it. So in that case, there are tools to help them get the data out of the database more easily. But of course, even then, sometimes you have circumstances where perhaps some logic is not all on the back end in the database, it's on the client side. And so you can't really, getting the data just right from the database only tells part of the story. You really need to get it out of the user interface. And now with external systems or vendor-provided systems, it's all up for grabs. Some vendors probably provide a way to migrate data into their system, but maybe not to get it out. They're hoping to increase their stickiness to keep you with their product. Again, in other cases, the data only tells half the story. Or you have a circumstance sometimes where maybe two companies merge. A lot of the IT staff or a lot of the business knowledge goes out the door during that merger, but during this transition period, the information still needs to be combined and reconciled and put back into a single system. Or maybe the company needs to have both systems running in parallel for some time. So what I've kind of summarized there is this: it's not always easy, even when you put the data in and you can see it on the glass. When you need to get that data back out, there can be some lock in there, and there can be some challenges. And so what mashups can do, because of that thing I initially mentioned about how they can sort of be reused without permission, well, there are a number of mashup products, techniques also, that can basically reach into these existing systems, perhaps all the way back to the back end, to the database or whatever the underlying store is, but also even at the glass, pull information out. So you don't have this situation necessarily where you can see all your information on the screen. There's my customer data, or there's my account data, or my sales data. But there's no way for me to get it out, short of retyping it. A mashup can automate the process of going in and collecting all that data for you, and either just pumping it right out into a standard format that you could then reuse yourself, or use another information integration tool, or do some additional massaging on it before exposing that data. So you can use mashup technology to basically impose export functionality on these existing systems. And likewise, if there's a system you need to import data into, perhaps your company has purchased a firm and you need to move to their accounting system and they don't really have an easy back-end way to get the data in, you can also use mashup technology to develop an API to basically, at the glass, import this data that you've collected through their regular, let's say, new client onboarding screen, and put the data in that way, and maybe make sure it passes all their front end validation checks. So mashup technology is an excellent way to get data in and out of other systems where there's not necessarily a straightforward way to do so, provided by the system itself.
Could you go into a little more detail? You mentioned very briefly about SaaS and the cloud. Could you talk a little bit more about how enterprise mashups help with those offerings?
Sure. So SaaS and the cloud are kind of, you know, are obviously related. I mean, SaaS is just one layer of abstraction on the cloud. So SaaS is, you know, software as a service. So a lot of people think of, you know, Salesforce is a very common example there. You know, it runs in the cloud. You know, it's running outside your own firm's infrastructure. They're providing this application as a service to you. Many companies use email. I mean, that's probably the most common example of a SaaS application running in the cloud. You know, people using Gmail or Yahoo Mail, but I mean, there are hosted versions of Exchange and other systems also. And so, again, those vendors have some desire to keep you locked into using their site, but generally they try and do so by product differentiation. And so a lot of times the SaaS providers do provide an export strategy for getting your data out. And obviously there's an import strategy there because they want you to start using their service in the first place. As you move deeper sort of to the underlying cloud infrastructure, you probably go down through platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, you know, those kinds of sites like you know, the Google App Engine or Amazon. There are sites that, you know, that are providing actual just raw sort of compute as a service. And then there are sites that are just providing things in the cloud, like, let's say, virtualized Linux environments. The general issue here is that once companies move to using a SaaS product or a cloud product, generally they're putting a lot of their data there. And there's a concern, I think, sort of in the industry as a whole now, that right now these various cloud providers are focused on providing functionality, providing APIs to get people to use their products, and they haven't really focused a lot on interoperability. So there are some issues with, will I be able, once my data is there and I start generating more data because I'm running my services on these cloud platforms, will I be able to get that data out? Or maybe will I only be able to get my original data out? So there's a concern about that kind of that data lock-in, and you can get around that in some of the ways that that I just mentioned previously. And I think there's also a concern for API lock-in. So some of these vendors do provide, let's say, an API function to spin up additional cores when you want to perform additional processing. That can be mitigated not necessarily with mashups, but just by writing kind of a simple proxy layer, so you're not tying yourself directly in the solutions that you build to the specific vendor's APIs. So that's one of the things. I think the other concern is that as companies move some of their functionality to the cloud or to a SaaS provider, they still want to have their internal applications performing some functionality. They're not necessarily comfortable taking their most, you know, lucrative, let's say, algorithms or customer information and storing it outside their own corporate firewall. So they'll want to outsource or you know, put some of their functionality on the cloud that's more, let's say, you know, mainstream or commodity functionality, but they'll want to keep, let's say, the crown jewels behind the corporate firewall. But they'll want to have an application that, nonetheless, is a unified experience for the user. They want all this data on the same screen. So where mashups address that issue, obviously, is you'll perform some of the functionality on the cloud, you'll get that data out via an API, you'll take some of the functionality that you're providing internally, also expose that via an API, and then mash the two together to create an application that's more seamless for the end user. And another issue is, I mean, besides the fact of, you know, security and data confidentiality, there are also concerns for some companies, such as financial organizations, that if you were to move sensitive information out into the cloud, you don't necessarily know what country that's actually being domiciled in, and you aren't perhaps subject to the legal laws of that particular country where the data is domiciled. So if you can't ensure kind of the geographic location of the data that you're storing in the cloud, for some industries, that's a big concern. So again, for that kind of sensitive information, you'll store it, you'll manipulate it internally. For the commodity functionality, you'll perform that work in the cloud, you'll mash the two things together and build your solution that way.
Could you talk a little bit about what sort of resources are out there for folks that want to start working with APIs and with mashups?
Sure. Well, I suppose the most basic answer is to say almost any development language can talk to an API. So, you know, if you're a Perl, a Python, a Java, .NET developer, you know, your IT department is certainly capable of assembling these solutions already. But I think one of the things that that people think of when they think of mashups is that maybe this is a little bit easier to do. So there are commercial products that are specifically focused on the mashup space, and I'm going to name, just no particular order, Kapow, Jack B, Convertigo, a new company called Move Forward is in this space. I like a product called Titanium by AppCelerator, which is not specifically a mashup product, but it does let you combine APIs in a way that you can deploy to multiple platforms without rewriting the code. And I should mention mobile platforms such as the iPad, the iPhone, BlackBerry devices, Android devices. That's a really nice product. And then there are sites like Programmable Web that catalog various APIs in the industry, and these are open APIs, so you're kind of meant to go there and use these things. And it's great to have a resource like that to just see what tools are available to you. But so you can take a product, again, let's say like Jack or Kapow, and visually, without really any, without looking at an IDE or without looking at lines of code, visually assemble these applications. Or a product like Titanium, where basically you're writing iPhone applications, but you're doing it as if you're writing a plain old web page. You're using JavaScript and HTML to create your app. So it's still doing a little bit of development in that case, but it's a very highly abstracted layer. I mean, it removes a lot of the complexity that would be, if you were coding, let's say, in a lower level language like Java or .NET. So there are a lot of resources out there. There's another product, OpenSpan, and they don't really think of themselves as a mashup product, but what's unique about them is they let you inject and combine functionality from thick client Windows applications. So that's really great. You can actually take a desktop app that you have that was, again, maybe written in .NET or Swing, if it was Java, and actually extract data from that and put functionality in. So there's some really interesting tools out there. Of course, a Google search is always one of your best friends in these cases.
As in so many cases.
Yeah.
We are running a little bit long on time, but do you have any last-minute thoughts or anything that we didn't touch on to share with our readers?
Sure. Well, I'll just try and wrap it up. I mean, I think, I briefly mentioned the mobile space. I do think that, firms are paying more attention to mobile now than ever before. Certainly, that's due in large part to the success of the iPad, the iOS devices, and everything that's going on in the Android world. And there are a lot of opportunities to take existing applications that you have, and instead of rewriting them, again, creating APIs against them, perhaps combining multiple applications together so that if you've got a mobile sales force, that they can have easy access to all the applications that they had back at their desks. And, mashups are a great way to take all these different tools they maybe have if they're sitting at their desks, slim them down, combine them together, using some of the products I just mentioned, and just really create some unique solutions now without doing a lot of from scratch coding. So I would definitely encourage people who are exploring the mobile space to look at how mashups fit with that.
Thank you again for being with us today, Mike.
My pleasure.